You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Josh Swallows Broadway. Hi, Alan. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, babe.
Howdy ho.
Hi, babe. Hey, babe.
Hey, babe.
Looking good, babe.
Hey, babe.
Hey, babe.
Can you tell I'm straight?
Yeah, babe. Yeah, totally, babe.
Hey, babe.
Josh's requisite straight person.
I think
moniker.
It's a good voice. It yeah, is. Mother. Unless I'll do the Mike Pence. Yeah, mother. I love you, mother. So gross. Today I'm really excited. Andrew Pollack is on the show, and I'm such a nerdy fan for him. Not only is he like one of the most gorgeous, talented people on the planet, but he is the heart of gold. The guy is just a pure delight. It was so much fun talking to him. And also thank you so much to all of our Patreon supporters. We love hanging Woo! Out with you on the Zoom. And I'm so glad that now you finally can see the videos of season one. Yay!
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 And also just to promote something, Alan, you told me about a podcast that I'm going to be obsessed with called Out for Blood.
Oh, yes. Yes. It's like true crime meets Broadway. It's the actual story talking to in like documentary form, audio documentary of the flop and the scandal that was Carrie the musical.
I'm sold. I'm obsessed. Well, anyway, everybody go check that out. And also,
ASMR.
ASMR.
Not again. No, this is the third time.
Okay, no more ASMR. But welcome to Josh Swallows. Enjoy, bitches. Everybody, welcome back to Josh Swallows Broadway. I just have to say, we were having some mic drama, and Alan was like, okay, your mic is too hot. And so I had to pretend to get excited to get the level right. And I did that by going, Happy Hanukkah! So I guess Hanukkah is what excites me. But you know what the miracle of you know what my fucking miracle of Hanukkah is? My miracle of Hanukkah is Andrew Pollack. Andrew has been the star of Bat Out of Hell since 2015. He is one of the most incredible electric performers I've ever seen. His voice is insane. it's like you can see music like oozing out of his pores. That is how intense it is watching him perform. It's amazing. And I've been a huge fan. And so welcome to the show, Andrew Pollack.
I am so thrilled to be here. And that is quite an introduction to live up to. So thank you so much for pouring your heart out onto this podcast. You're amazing.
Dude, you're amazing. So you're from Philadelphia.
I am. I'm from Philadelphia. I'm from outside of Philadelphia. I'm in the Bucks County area.
Okay.
Which I guess is known for the Bucks County Playhouse.
Yes, it sure is.
Whose era you're, I guess, from. Because I know there was one point where it was kind of doing a nosedive down as not a very wonderful theater. And then Alex Frazier took it over and it's been on the up and up, which is
now it's
wonderful.
Huge. It's like harder to get a job there than it is on Broadway.
Yeah, it really is.
You know,
speaking of Broadway, I saw The Prom and I'm so bummed. I missed you that day. I don't know where you were.
No.
I know. And it was such an amazing show. It's one of my favorites. I still have the shirt. We're all lesbians.
I'm not quite sure when
or where to wear it. Yeah.
Anywhere. Wear it on stage. Anywhere. Punk it up.
I wore it in New York City once and I got so many stares. I don't know. I couldn't read the stares very well.
Yeah. But... Well, I agree. I wore it to the gym once and people, I think they just think that I am a lesbian. Like, you know, like sometimes I'll see like a hot, like twink and then I'll be like, damn it, it's a lesbian. And then sometimes they see me and they're like, oh, mama, butch. Oh, God damn it. It's a character actor. You know? Anyway, thank you. I'm really glad that you liked The Prom. I missed that show and I'm sorry we didn't get to meet then.
Oh my gosh. I loved that show and I'm so sorry it went away. I mean, you know, like all Broadway shows right now. So I guess everyone's in the same boat. But you know, I watched your, marquee channel where you gave everyone the tour of the theater, which was incredible. I love that you said you went up, 879 steps just to get up to your dressing room.
Yeah. What the fuck? Who puts a big girl on the top floor? Like,
were there really that many steps or is this just,
hyperbole? It was, I guess some people might say that I have a tendency to think in, you know, hyperbolic terms. But it felt like it. It might not have been that many steps, but it was a punishment from God.
Oh. Yeah, absolutely.
It's just not fair. It's not fair. But anyway,
legs. I gotcha.
Yeah. I long for the day when my dressing room is on stage.
On stage?
Well, not in front of everybody, but just
change.
No, just stage level. I don't have to put up with anything. I can tell the crew to be quiet. I'm getting into character. Hush. I'm working on my jokes. But I love the City Center backstage. Wait,
did you just do Jiminy Glick?
I absolutely did. I love that you know Jiminy Glick.
Oh yeah, no, Martin Short's one of my heroes. That's amazing.
Same. He came to see Prom, and it was impossible to say hi to him because he was like just doing bits.
Was like, he really?
Yes.
He just doesn't turn off ever.
Ever. He was like center stage, being like, "Hello." Just, and you wanted to say hi, but at the same time, you're watching Martin Short just be Martin Short for nobody but himself.
I want to say, is that the same theater where he did Fame Becomes Me?
Maybe. Maybe. Yet,
I'm not sure. I should have done way more research.
Yeah, you should have done more research. Andrew, this is disappointing. I'm going to talk to your parents after this. And
okay. I'll give you the number. As long as I can talk to your dad.
Yeah.
When
did you start performing?
Oh, geez. I was a late bloomer. I want to say that I had to get hit on the head first before I decided to go into theater and
literally
music,
like,
and everything.
You got into a terrible bike accident,
yeah,
right?
I got into a really bad bicycle accident. And before that, I was gung-ho sports kid. I really liked lacrosse, and I thought, might as well just do lacrosse if I'm good enough, get a scholarship and then become a doctor or a lawyer. You know, one of those traditional career pathways that right now, in this very moment, probably seem like great choices.
I should have gone into lacrosse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, that changed. I got into a bad bike accident, hit my head pretty bad, scraped up like a whole side of my body. And
that's so scary.
Yeah, it is. And when I got out of that, after being in the ER or the head trauma unit for 5 days, the doctor asked me to walk in a straight line, and I couldn't. And she said, you know, I'm really sorry. I know you really like sports, but you can't do contact sports for at least a year, if not ever again. And I looked at her, and just the hope kind of drained out of my body because I was such an energetic kid and I had no idea where to put all of this energy. And around that time, that's when my dad played me rock music. He played me songs, and my mom introduced me to musical theater. And all of a sudden, I was seeing how musical theater can actually be more of a physical exertion than I had even realized. And I went down that path because I saw people like Meatloaf being near hysterics on stage doing Paradise by the Dashboard Light, and kind of went down that path. And going down that path, I wanted to start my own band, and then I wanted to be in every musical show. And then I guess once high school ended, I was like, well, you know, I should probably go and like do like a liberal arts degree and maybe get a normal job. But I went to a school up in Rochester, New York, and there was a theater program there called Todd Theater. And there's a wonderful man there named Nigel Maester who runs an absolutely out-of-the-box thinking theater program. And he inspired me to keep going with it. And I simultaneously was doing theater and obviously our everyone's favorite a cappella. And then also formed another rock band that was called Cat House. And to top all of that off, instead of enjoying all that and going, okay, that was my time. Now it's officially over. Now I'm going to go to law school or go become a doctor. I took a risk and auditioned for grad schools. And I got into Brown's MFA program and went down that path and then moved to New York City. And wow. It's kind of been crazy ever since.
And when did you know that you could sing?
I knew that I could sing at 14. I really didn't realize that I could before. I was given a solo in my school choir, I guess in ninth grade. And I looked at him crazy. I thought, why are you giving me this solo? There have been people who have been in this choir since, what, seventh grade? Why me? And I think my parents thought it was a bit strange too. However, the night of the choir concert, we did the song and it was like a jazz rocky song. And I sang it. And after I got off stage at the end, my parents came up to me with these huge eyes and they said, oh my gosh, you can sing. Like, you could sing. And I guess previously I had always thought if you can talk, you can sing, because singing is just holding what you're saying for a longer time than usual.
Right, yeah.
That was beautiful.
Thanks.
And my mother and father both said, no, you can really sing. And I didn't know there was a difference, but they said, you've got to keep at this. You actually can sing. You have a talent there.
I wish that was there really the was first like time. A video of your dad, like, with a camcorder watching the concert and then being like, holy shit, he can say, babe, are you watching this, babe? Oh, we're going to get him an agent, babe.
Oh man. That would have been great if my parents had gotten me an agent at that point. But B, I can't imagine my parents calling each other babe. I don't know if they're that sexy with each other, which is unfortunate.
I was going to cut in here because, like, Josh, every time you talk about straight couples, it's always babe.
So I'm just like babe,
babe, I love you, babe.
I love you, babe. Like, we're straight. We're straight, so we call each other babe.
Well, it's better than Mike Pence, who calls his wife mother.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't deal with that. And I know I'm watching a TV show called Servant right now, and they call each other darling, the husband and wife. And it's just like the most cringeworthy thing.
Yeah, it's creepy. You met your girlfriend through Bat Out of Hell, right?
I did. I met Christina Bennington through Bat Out of Hell when we went to the UK and started the production in Manchester.
Have you tried calling her darling or mother?
I don't know if she would like that at all.
I've been challenging.
I've tried babe, and she said no. No, babe.
But babe.
Yeah, right?
Babe.
Baby. Come on, babe.
I've been challenging my friends to call their partners mother or father, you know, respectively. And so far, only one friend has done it, and it did not go well.
What happened?
They were just like, what did you call me? He was like, mother, I thought it would be, no, that's not funny. And I'm trying to get my dad to call my wife.
Your wife?
To call my mom, go on. Mother. Go on. This is very interesting all of a sudden.
Okay, I'll give it another shot and I'll let you know the result.
Mother, it's Andrew.
Yes.
Please tell her that she's incredibly talented too.
Oh, I absolutely will.
She's amazing. And
it's really amazing.
The chemistry you two have is phenomenal, but I'll get back to her. So at Brown, like, isn't the college there, like, you're not studying Footloose. You're studying like a Ripley Collies. This was written in 2013 BC of the afterbirth, you know, whatever.
Yeah, of course. You're studying Oedipus and a lot of Shakespeare. I mean, it was very, very Shakespeare intensive. And it was all straight theater. There was really no musical theater at all, which, you know, I guess made me sad because I really, really like musical theater. I think that's my favorite kind of theater.
Aww.
However, I also knew that if I studied this, I would be able to act through song and be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Do you have any interest in doing like Shakespearean stuff?
I really, really like Shakespeare. I mean, you've done Shakespeare.
No.
Right? No?
No, people don't trust me with that. No.
I mean, I think it's wonderful because it basically is saying poetry on the stage, almost similar to singing. And it's very, very heightened. I do worry that in some sense, a lot of us are finding it too much of a foreign language now.
Absolutely.
And we're still trying to hold on to it, and I don't know if there's going to come a time where we actually have to just let go completely. I just hope it's not anytime soon, because I know there's still lessons that we have to learn there.
I don't think that there will be. Patrick Page does an amazing sort of like Shakespeare language class that I'm actually planning on taking, just because I've been one of those people that when I see it, I love it, but when I read it, I'm like, what? And I've always had this sort of dream nightmare of being asked to do a classical monologue and just making it up and being like, thine eyes trigger. The moon beameth not for I. You know, and just...
I think that was pentameter. I think you got it.
See, I've got an ear for this shit.
Yeah. It's look that musical
out.
Ear.
Yeah, look out, Oscar Eustace. I'm coming to the Delacorte this summer. And then, so out of college, what was your first gig?
Oh my gosh, my first gig was the Bat Out of Hell workshop.
Wow.
I know, it's madness. And I know this really, really doesn't happen. And I was very, very fortunate. And it was incredibly serendipitous the way it happened.
Yabba dabba do. You're a wonderful human. Don't worry about any of that. Things happen when they happen. you know, and they don't when they don't. Yabba dabba do. So well deserved. Where were you when you got the call?
Oh my gosh. I guess going into it, I had been going to just about every single open call that was in New York that possibly fit my description. And I just miraculously somehow found my way into an actual meeting for the SpongeBob musical after going to an open call. Like, I had gone to like the ensemble open call.
Yeah.
And was like picked out of the line and said, no, get him out. And then I went to the principal. Yeah, no, it's crazy. And I went
get
to the
him
principal.
Out of here.
Like, he can't juggle. He can't tap. And I was like, ah, oh, bummer. I really like SpongeBob. But I don't know if that's a good enough a reason to do the show.
It is in my book.
Yeah. Okay.
Take that, Tina. Take that, Tina Landau.
And I guess I went to the principal like open call audition. I was expecting there to be like a million people like the previous one, and there was nobody there. And I sang Living on a Prayer, and I think they're like, oh boy, we're going to hear this again. And I started singing, and they all kind of looked up as if to suggest, where the heck did this kid come from? And they said, okay, yeah, we'll call you in for like a meeting. I was like, awesome. Open calls worked out. Don't give up, kids.
Yeah.
And I was at this meeting for SpongeBob, and they said, bring a musical instrument. And I brought a huge floor tom drum. And, you know, props to this guy who was sitting next to me. He looks over at me, looks at my tom drum, thinks I'm a bit of a nut to have brought in a drum to like a instrument singing audition, and goes, hey, you trying out for that Bat Out of Hell musical down the street? It's at Pearl Studios. And I kind of looked over at him and had to double take, because Bat Out of Hell is one of my favorite records. And I went, do you mean like a Meatloaf musical? And he goes, no, I think it's a misnomer. I think they're using that for something else. And I went, I bet that's the Jim Steinman Meatloaf musical. And so I walked into that SpongeBob audition with my SpongeBob backpack and my SpongeBob belt. And I think immediately they thought I was way too much of a fan, or just too much, too extra. And I didn't hear anything back from that. However, I waddled down the streets of New York with my huge tom drum bumping
like Dick
into people.
Fucking Van Dyke.
Just yeah, like, right. With the Cockney accent and everything.
Excuse me, everybody, trying to go to an audition.
Yeah, it's surprising how many people in New York City just do not care. But, no. You know, you get there. And I got there, and it must have been the tiniest room in Pearl Studios. And I squeezed the drum through the door. And here I was in my SpongeBob outfit, where everyone who previously had gone into the room had leather jackets and spiky belts. And I could have sworn she was almost going to say, no, I think you're in the wrong audition. You need to go down back up to, oh my gosh, where Telsey used to be.
Yeah, I mean, 43rd what, or whatever.
Yeah, 43rd. And I do about 16 bars, which, you know, that classic open call audition, and beat my drum to a bloody drum. And I ended up getting a call from my agent maybe a week later asking, did you try out for the Meatloaf musical and not tell us? And I was like, oh yeah, I did. Sorry. Forgive me. Yeah. I don't know. It was all in good fun. I just heard about it and just went. And they're like, well, they want to see you again. And they've asked you, I don't know what this means, but to bring the drum. And I brought the drum back, and the same kind of thing happened. It seemed like I was a fish out of water, and they had no idea where I came from. And the director kind of looked at me, and I was in for Jaguar. I was in for one of the supporting roles for the lead. And after that second audition, I was all of a sudden in the final callbacks for the lead. And when I had read the script, I imagined this lead being about 6'7" and just like, you know, just abs for days and like just biceps that could crunch cars. And I was like, I don't think I'm the right person for this at all. And you walked into that room for the final callback, and there was Jim Steinman right in the middle. And Jim Steinman has these Lady Gaga sunglasses on, no lie, like the crystals coming out of them. The leather gloves with the like urchin spikes that are popping out of them that are bright purple and orange and green. And he is sitting there like the god of rock and roll in his little like wheelchair throne with the bat wings. And I looked at him and thought, oh man, you wanted to be the star of this musical back in the day before things fell apart. Like this was your dream. And I thought, you know what? I think I can make your dream come true. And so I went through two rounds of callbacks. And at the end of the second round, Jim Steinman was yelling at me to like sing more high C's. And I was doing it. And I walked out of there. And it was the first time I walked out of an audition and went, wow, I think I got that. And like, two days later, my agent's calling me up. And they're like, yep, you got the workshop for Battle to Hell. Congrats. And it was crazy. I was like, wow. I've never walked out of an audition and went, oh, yeah, I got that. And then it actually happened.
So. Yeah. Usually when I'm like, oh, I got that, I don't get it.
Yeah, same here. I was like, yeah, I nailed that. And then 3 weeks later, you're like, oh, okay, I didn't get that.
Oh, wow. Who was the first person that you called?
Gosh, back in the day? Who did I call?
Back in 2015.
Yeah, oh, gosh. Ancient times. That was the year when Back to the Future was set, the second one.
Some say.
Hoverboards and everything. I must have called my parents. Maybe I called my girlfriend at the time. Oh, geez. I don't know. Who do you call when you get good news?
I usually tell my parents first, just because I have a rule that they're not allowed to ask me anything. And if I have news for them, I'll tell them.
Really? Oh, that's a fascinating rule.
Yeah, just because I don't want to... We go on so many auditions, I don't want to...
Get their hopes up?
Or just...
Not theirs, but...
As soon as I'm done with an audition, I throw away the sides out of my life. If I need to reprint on my will...
You're a sides thrower.
Yeah,
even
I'm
when
done.
You need them in the future. And they go, could you come back?
Well, I mean, if they're like, can you come back? Then I'll save it. But I'm not like, tradition, throw it away. But yeah, no, I don't want them asking me, like, do you have any auditions? Especially right now.
Oh, right. Of course they wouldn't ask you that now.
You know, so I'm like, if I have news, yeah, you will find out.
That's such a tough question to get these days where people go, so what are you going to be in next? And they're usually referring to a theater thing, and you go, do you read the news? Do you have any idea what's going on?
Has anybody actually asked you that?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah. People go, when are you going to be in Battle to Hell again? And I go, you know, we're in a pandemic. Why would you think that?
Somebody's like, so what's going on for you? Tell me, like, what's going on for you? What's happening in your life? And it's like, don't you get it? It's all over. Don't you see?
Industry's been decimated.
My time is done. I live in Tulum now. You know,
Tulum's a good choice. I'll look into that.
You know, Rose McGowan moved to Tulum.
Seriously?
Yeah, she just moved to Tulum. She had it, but I'm like, you know, girl, Tulum is pretty much still the United States if you think about it. Yeah. But anyway. So what was the workshop like?
The workshop was madness. I could not get over how many amazing people were in the room. And I felt like such a newbie going in there. And I think everyone was like, what? This kid's playing the lead? And then, you know, you sing Battle to Hell the first time and everyone's like, oh, yeah, okay. However, I want to say on the first day, Jim Steinman is known to be a huge foodie. He goes to a restaurant and he'll order one thing off of every single menu. Every single menu item. And he brought, I want to say, about 20 boxes of White Castle to the first rehearsal. And being the starving artists that we were all grateful to like eat the food. And then about a half hour later, you feel like absolute garbage and you want to take a nap. And then they're like, okay, yeah, let's read through the whole thing and sing through the whole thing. It's like, no, no, not now. So he is, I want to say he's the rock god of excess in more ways than one.
Yeah.
And I don't know. You know, we did the whole workshop and it's just an absolutely bonkers show with a very, very bonkers storyline. And you really have to remain committed to make sure everything works. And I think we did the first performance in front of a whole bunch of producers and were surprised that there were like a bunch of thumbs up. And then I think the second show we did in front of the producers, I think, don't quote me on this, but I think Harvey Weinstein was in the audience.
Sure, I believe it.
And we also got a huge round of thumbs up for that performance as well. And then it was like left on such a high note and such a like positive, like great job. And then we didn't hear anything about it for months and months and months until I all of a sudden got a call from a general manager in the UK saying, we're going to do Battle of Hell in Manchester, London, and Toronto. Would you like to be Strat?
Wow.
And I mean, for that, I was like jumping on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
In Brooklyn. And people thought I was crazy. But I don't know. I honestly, it's anything can turn on a dime. And I mean, even the role I was playing turned on a dime. I'd been doing Battle of Hell. And then all of a sudden, I was playing Matt in the Fantastics. And that was like straight from crazy rebellious socialist into like fun loving Republican boy who loves a girl on the other side of a wall.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think if there's a message, I guess, that I'm trying to say in a podcast, it's you never know what's gonna happen.
It's true. And you got to meet a wonderful woman. You got to see so much of the world and be a star.
Yeah, I got to meet Meatloaf. I mean, it was, every moment was kind of like a pinch me, I'm dreaming moment. Like Meatloaf just, I don't know. He's like such a rock god.
Yeah.
You just meet him and you're just at a loss for words like I am right now. And I think I babbled in front of him and he just put up his hand and said, I'm just an ordinary guy. You don't have to treat me like a legend or a star. I just like, I'm an ordinary guy like everyone else.
Just call me Meat.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and call me Meat. I called him Mr. Loaf. And he wasn't a fan of that. But
like, my name's Meat.
Yeah, it really is Meat.
Yeah.
He won't answer to any other name. So that was essentially a very, I don't know, almost cathartic experience, because I went, you brought these songs to life, and now like we're filling that job. And yeah, he just said, as long as you connect with the story and connect with it personally, then the audience can connect with it and make it their own and make their own stories from it. And I mean, he's a great actor. I don't know if when on stage he was actually playing himself or if he was playing a heightened character of himself.
Yeah.
But we were grateful for his full-on support with everything. I mean, he came to do a press tour just 2 weeks after he had had back surgery. So he was in tons of pain, but he loved telling me about all the times that he got into fights on tour when someone like smashed a pool cue over his head and he turned around and he's like, I feel sorry for you, my friend. And apparently he grabbed the guy and just dragged him through the parking lot for the rest of the night. Now, I don't know what he would have done to cause the pool cue to get smashed over his head, but you know, it's all.
That never happened to me during the prom. I will say that.
No pool cue over that.
Nobody was like, at, you know, whatever place was open, House of Brews. But I'd say you're just so damn phenomenal. I know that you did him proud, and You have a new single, which is I Do Anything for Love, But I Won't Do That, which is, I would say, maybe one of his most iconic songs.
One of his most iconic, and it's completely unplugged. There's just an acoustic guitar and a voice. We wanted to really, really break it down from the complex Meatloaf, Jim Steinman, over-the-top performance, and just bring it down to the heart and soul of a Meatloaf, Jim Steinman song. And I did it with Jakob Reinhardt, who played in The Pit for the New York City Center production, and he does an absolutely fantastic job on guitar.
That's incredible. When and where can we get this?
That's on Bandcamp. It was released on Friday, which I think, I'm really not good with the calendar, but I think that was the 4th?
Congratulations.
It was the 5th. Yeah. And it's an early Valentine's gift for everyone, because all we need is more love in this world.
That's amazing. Everybody, please go to Bandcamp. And Bandcamp is also an incredible site to support your favorite musical artists. It's a great, great platform, much better than Spotify or anything like that, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So go there and experience the magical holiness that is Andrew Pollack singing I Do Anything for Love, But I Won't Do That. And, you also have a TV appearance coming up, don't you?
I do. I don't know if you're a fan of Prodigal Son.
Of course.
You are. Yeah. It's a fantastic TV show. I absolutely love it. And I'm going to appear in it February 16th at 9 p.m.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, yeah. No, it, and I have to say, shooting a TV show during the COVID era is wild. Like, it honestly feels like you're on the set of some biohazard. And everyone is so extremely safe.
Right.
So, yeah, you're like in masks constantly. Then, like, you quickly act and rip off the mask and then smack back on you.
And is there craft services anymore?
Yes, but it's very, I don't know. I mean, their booklet that they sent you is like a Bible for all the safety precautions that they take.
Wow. So, well, yeah. May we all take a moment and celebrate the fact that you got to work during this crazy time, and that we can celebrate by watching you on Prodigal Son and listening to your music and celebrating your art. I'm grateful for artists like you during times like this.
Oh my gosh. I'm grateful for you putting this all together, because like this is the lifeblood of theater and the arts, and you are continuing to make it pump. So really, I can't thank you enough. You're incredible.
I'm going to hug the shit out of you one day. Okay.
Oh, I look forward to that.
Okay, good.
We can all touch.
Even if you're not one of those huggy people, you're going to get hugged. It's going to be uncomfortable.
Okay. I think I'm a huggy person now. I mean, I think I crave it, you know? I don't know about you.
Oh my God, I'd hug a tree. I'd hug a gangster.
A gangster?
No, but if I did. Okay. What if I just, like, my next door neighbor's a gangster, but like an old-timey gangster that's like, see? Brought up your mail, see?
The scary ones, yeah. Oh,
yeah, see?
They have control of your mail.
Sure do, see? It was open, see? Yeah.
With the door. I like it where this story is going. So you're saying he has your mail. He's broken into your apartment because he had the key, and now he's just going to give you the mail. But now the big threat is whether you're going to hug him or not.
To be honest, it sounds like a Hulu sitcom.
Yeah, it does.
Like, out of work character actor lives next door to like a 1930s gangster, and he, yeah, I think I'm going to pitch that.
Yeah, pitch to Hulu, Netflix.
Yeah,
they're open.
Yeah, I think they're maybe Hello TV or whatever the smaller networks are. I can do that too. I'm going to do that right now. We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we are going to have a fan call. I'm going to pitch that show real quick, and we'll be right back.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's The Original New Musical from Shana Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Everybody, welcome back to Just Swallows Broadway today with Andrew Pollock, the dreamiest, most amazing performer in the fucking world. Okay, so now, Andrew, this is my favorite part of the show. We have a fan call in with a question, an innocent young musical theater person like we were, and we are going to enlighten them and make their world a better place. Elizabeth, tell me about our guest caller.
Our guest caller is named Cassie Watt. She has been a huge fan of the podcast since it came out. And she's just really excited to be here. So let's bring her on.
All right.
Hi.
Hi, Cassie Watt. What's going on?
Nothing much. I'm so excited to talk to you guys.
I'm so excited to introduce you to Andrew Pollock. The darling of all theater, in my opinion. Cassie, where are you from?
I'm from Yarmouth, Maine, so just outside of Portland.
Oh, okay. My brother lives in Saco.
Yeah, I know where that is.
All right. It was very snowy when I was there. Cool. So what's your question for us?
My question is, do you guys have any advice on keeping the love of theater alive when it feels like theater isn't really in a lot of people's daily lives? That used to be theater, theater, theater. And now it went 60 to zero. I don't do any theater. So just keeping the love of theater alive in the pandemic.
You're not alone. You're not alone, Boo. Andrew, what do you think?
I think this is probably one of the biggest questions for every theater person right now in the world. How do you keep the love of theater alive when you're not seeing it and you're not experiencing it? And I hate to sound so cheesy, and this is going to sound so cheesy, but theater is alive in your heart right now. You are keeping that flame going.
Yes!
So whether you're just in your room and singing a show tune to yourself in front of an audience of zero, or whether you're live streaming, or whether you're just imagining being on stage, you are keeping that dream alive, you are keeping that feeling alive, and you are keeping theater alive. I can't tell you how many times this past week I've just been breaking out into musical theater songs just in my room by myself with hopefully no one watching. And that has been, I guess, my saving grace that has gotten me through the many, many months we've all been going through this together.
I second that. I was performing Carolina Change in the shower before this interview. Like, and no kidding, I'm really, really freaking good. In that show specifically. But no, I agree. Like, art is in us. And also right now there are a lot of opportunities virtually, like Broadway weekends and other sources that you can really find a group of people that are in the same boat that love theater, because like between the three of us, something happened to us when we saw theater or a musical for the first time. And that is something that the three of us will always have in common. That is something that makes us a part of a big community. So, you know, I can see your room filled with playbills and posters. Theater's alive and well. It just sucks right now. I don't know how else to say it. It just sucks right now.
Yeah, I'd say that's accurate.
You know, like the saying, when one door closes, another will open. It's just hell in the hallway. So we're coming back, and theater's coming back, and we can keep it alive right now, but we're going to be in a hallway for a bit.
Yeah. I feel like every time I put on a mask, like, I've just thought about theater. Like, I don't know, from the beginning of the pandemic, every time I'll, like, do something COVID, I'm like, this is getting me back to theater. Like, it may be annoying, but it'll happen. Well,
that's a brilliant way to look at it, that it's one small step for theater, one giant leap for eventually we'll get there. So, yeah, no, I think that's a beautiful way to look at it, just knowing that every day that progresses, we're getting closer to being able to be in a room with a bunch of bodies again and watch something that's actually happening, not on our screens, but several feet away. So that's incredible. You've inspired me with your answer. So thank you.
Cassie, what's one of your favorite musicals or dream roles?
Well, personally, I love to go into theater business, not acting, but I have the biggest soft spot in my heart for Legally Blonde. I know.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
oh my God.
Yes, it is. Oh my God, you guys. Okay, today I want you to do Andrew and me a favor, and I want you to sing the shit out of Oh My God, You Guys in your bedroom and just have a party. If you want to be in the business side, come up with like a fake receipt that you have to turn in for the Broadway revival. And yeah, that's pretending too. Aren't I good at this?
Yeah.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Andrew. Cassie, thank you for joining us today. And, you know, you're keeping theater alive. And it means a lot to me that you came on the show.
It means so much that you guys had me. I've listened to so many episodes, so I can't wait to hear myself on one.
Hey, now you're on one. Listen, give Maine my love. Tell it snows too much there. But, you know, give Maine my love anyway and keep theater alive. And thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
You're amazing. You I think that was the sweetest thing in the world. And isn't that like the biggest question right now is like how to keep art alive?
It absolutely is the biggest question right now. And I feel that she had probably the best answer.
Yeah.
And I'm so thrilled to have experienced that. And I hope so many people can hear that each step we're taking is one step closer to theater.
Absolutely. How's it been for you during this time? I mean, not to ask like a stupid question, but...
I don't think it's a stupid question. I think it's been absolutely awful. And you try to make the best of it every day. Like, I don't know where you were when March 13th rolled around, but all of a sudden everyone says we're closing our doors and then Broadway shuts down. And you go, oh yeah, I'm sure in 2 weeks it'll be back. And those 2 weeks pass and... all your plans that you had just went out the window. Like,
yeah.
I was supposed to be going to Australia with Bada Da Hell, and we were going to do these big stadium concert tours. And that just all fell through. And I also had like a production of Hair that I really wanted to be in. And I should really be asking for your advice for that, because I know you're a big Harry.
If you ever want to talk about Hair, I'm always here for you. were you going to be Claude or Burger?
I was going to be Burger.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah, no, it's tough. I had things that were coming up that, you know, just sort of like flatlined. But I always say like, the best that we can do right now is try to take care of ourselves. Like if you're feeling sad, you're nailing it. If you are feeling good, you're nailing it. If you want to write an opera, you're nailing it. If you want to eat some fudge, you're nailing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't mean to make it sound just terrible and just say,
no,
oh,
not at all
time, but I do want to express to people that there are some very, very positive people who are doing positive things during this time. And I really applaud them. But just like you said, it is absolutely fine to live the feelings that you're feeling and not try to push against it and lie to yourself and be like, oh yeah, I'll just keep smiling and just keep holding on to hope and hope that's going to change stuff. You need to acknowledge what's going on before you can make the proper next steps. And it's okay if you don't want to make the next steps right now.
Yeah, totally.
We're all in this together. And, you know, if you ever need words of encouragement, we are here to hold each other's digital hands and help out.
Oh, amen. You're the nicest person on the planet.
I'm the nicest. You're the nicest.
Well, thank you. No, but you're just so kind and so sweet and have such a huge heart. And I'm officially declaring that we are going to become best friends.
Okay. Sign me up. Where's the contract?
Blood brothers, even.
Blood brothers.
Let's become blood brothers. I've been obsessed with that show lately. I've been performing it in my house, like as Mrs. Johnson. I'll like feel it, you know. I'm like, don't take away the baby, they're a pair. I get really into it.
Wow. I cannot wait for this one person performance of it.
My cat. Are you gonna do like a TikTok?
Okay.
No, I don't do TikTok. I can't do TikTok.
Okay.
I have 3 social media accounts and that's
just enough.
That's too many.
Too many, sorry. Right.
For me, I'm an old crotchety person. And you're young and spriteful.
You really do not strike me as old at all. So you've gotta change that language around.
Science and money, honey. That's how you look so good at this age. Science and money, honey. Andrew, thank you for coming on the show. I fucking adore you. You're awesome.
Adore you too. Oh. Thanks so much for having me.
Dude, just keep making art and keep inspiring all of us because you're a special, special dude.
Oh, thank you. Well, you inspire me. Thanks for everything and keep healthy.
I'll fucking try. And everybody at home, thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for more Josh Swallows. And if you want to support us, please do go to patreon.com/Josh Swallows Broadway. We are having Zoom parties and you get access to videos of all of season 1. What? I know. I'm a miracle. All right. I love you guys. Talk to you soon. Bye. Josh Swallows Broadway is produced by Alan Seals, Dory Berenstein, and myself, Josh Lehman, with associate producer Elizabeth Wheelis. And special thanks to our Patreon producers, David Rimmer and Josh Harris. You can join them. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/Josh Swallows Broadway. Leave a rating. Leave a review. I read them. This is how I continue living. Help me live. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for keeping Broadway alive. And swallow you soon.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.